Well, I can't believe that you came by right now, because I'm not dressed. I'm not ready for you.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Okay, now I'm ready.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hold on tight.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's the Ron Van Dam
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. Please make yourself comfortable. Would you like a bag of nuts? It's all I got. Sorry. This is not a catered affair. Hey, good to see you. Well, I'm going to start the show off by complaining about somebody. And that somebody is the fake president. This is funny. It's funny, but it's not funny. It's not funny, but it's funny. It's funny, but it's not funny. It's not funny, but it's funny. This guy, Donald Trump, you ever heard of this guy? Crazy individual. Crazy. I hope someday we don't vote in a lunatic into the White House. No, I hope that never happens. As you know, recently, fake President Trump stood in front of the Boy Scouts of America. They have their annual jamboree. Whenever I think of a jamboree, I always think of like a lot of people with tambourines, but that's not what it is, apparently. What a weird thing a tambourine is, huh? It's like a tiny little drum with little cymbals all around the edge. It's very odd. It's just, who invented this? Was somebody like really high on pot or something? Said, well, I'm going to invent a drum that I can hold in my hand that's going to have the cymbals like all around the edge. What are you, high or something?
Yeah.
A tambourine? How does anybody actually say, I play tambourine? Wow. Did you go to Juilliard, some kind of music school or something? Yes. Yes, I excelled in tambourine. I know how to shake a disc. Wow. That's really great. You don't have to know the notes or anything, do you? No, you just shake the damn thing. You just shake. It's kind of like a triangle. A triangle, what's that? Oh, it's a musical instrument. What is it? It's a triangle. Yeah, but was it? It's a triangle. That's all. And you play a geometric shape? Yes, yes. What I do is I take a metal stick and I hit the insides of the triangle. And? No, that's it. That's about it. Uh-huh. What do you have to know how to do? Oh, you have to know that the stick's got to hit the inside of the triangle. That's it? Yeah. I used to play tambourine, but I moved on to triangle because I wanted to move up. I see. That's really, wow, that's good. You know all the chords? I know all the chords. I know all the chords in the triangle. I really do. People say I hit a mean triangle. Is that what they say about? Yes. I'm a hell of a triangle player. I tried to play a square once. Didn't work. Triangles are better because your metal stick just seems to bounce off of the sides of the thing inside, you see. And you can make these pretty sounds. Are the sounds like different notes? No, there's only one sound that comes out of it. Actually, there's two sounds. There's light ding and there's heavy ding. That all depends on how hard you hit the triangle with the metal stick. I see. Uh-huh. I was up all night practicing the triangle because we got a new song in the orchestra, and I got to get it down because it involves triangle, which I play professionally. I'm a part of the Musicians Guild. Musicians Guild? Yes, because I play a triangle. I hit a metal object with a metal stick professionally. You get paid for that? Yes. I know that many children will lie on the floor and hit metal sticks on metal objects. They don't get paid. They're not part of the union. I am. I get paid because I play the triangle. Yeah, I do. Tambourine's fun too, man. I mean, I'm not putting tambourine down, but there aren't a lot of tambourines in the orchestra. There are some parts for tambourines, but triangle, you'll find quite an extensive array of fine musical pieces for the triangle. Yeah, okay. Anyway, Donald Trump... Ooh, Ron, did you get off subject or what? So Donald Trump speaks in front of the Boy Scouts of America. They had their national jamboree in West Virginia. And as a tradition, they asked the sitting president, or even standing president, to attend and address the jamboree, which involves a lot of Boy Scout officials, which would be Men Scouts, I guess, and a lot of the highfalutin, well-honored Boy Scouts. You know, you can earn a badge by helping elderly people cross the street. That's like three badges. Another great badge would be lighting a fire with two sticks. That's an incredible, thing. I can't do it. I've tried doing it. You can't do that easily. I'd rather play the triangle in an orchestra than rub two sticks there and get a fire going. Come on, man. Come on. You also get a badge for sitting around the campfire and telling stories. That's a badge as well. It's just a wonderful organization. I kid the Boy Scouts. I've never been in the Boy Scouts for one major reason. I refuse to dress the same as the other boys. I think that's a little odd. I think that's an odd thing to do. Dress like other boys while you're sitting around a campfire telling stories. I don't find that to be all that ingratiating. Anyway, so the president of the United States, the fake president, stood in front of the Boy Scouts of America. And if you recall, what he did was he turned it into a campaign speech. He blasted Hillary and fellow Republicans and the Democrats. He talked about how he doesn't like Jeff Sessions anymore. And the Boy Scouts are listening to the president and they're saying, what the hell is this? What the hell is it? What the hell is this? And Donald Trump is actually using the Boy Scouts to make political announcements. I don't know. The Boy Scouts, the president says, the Boy Scouts represent honesty. And of course, he's talking about honesty. It just was a mess. Trump told the Wall Street Journal on July 25th, which was just a day after the Boy Scout thing, a day or two, Trump tells the Wall Street Journal that the head of the Boy Scouts called him after the event to tell him that this was, quote unquote, the greatest speech that was ever made to them. Trump is. I was told I made the greatest speech ever made to the Boy Scouts ever, and And the head of the Boy Scouts called me. But in an interview with Time Magazine, the Boy Scouts organization said, no, that's a lie. They're unaware that any call between Trump and officials took place after the jamboree, and that the organization strives to be non-political. As a matter of fact, the Boy Scouts, after the president's speech to them, actually denounced the president's speech, saying, the Boy Scouts don't take political sides, and we prefer not to hear speeches that are political in front of the Boy Scouts. They actually dissed the president's speech, not said, it's the most amazing speech ever given. They never said that, ever, in a phone call, certainly. The Chief Scouts executive's message to the scouting community speaks for itself. The organization said, referring to a July 27 statement from Michael Serbow, the Chief Scout executive for the Boy Scouts of America, this is what they said. I want to extend my sincerest apologies to those in our scouting family who were offended by the political rhetoric that was inserted into the jamboree. For years, people have called upon the Boy Scouts to take a position on political issues, and we have steadfastly remained nonpartisan and refused to comment on political matters. We sincerely regret that politics were inserted into the scouting program. So the chances of the head of the Boy Scouts calling Donald Trump on the phone and saying that was the greatest speech ever, chances are like nil to an extreme lie. Trump even went a step further in his recently released interview with the Wall Street Journal to say that despite the Boy Scouts' apology for his political comments, the organization loved his remarks, the president says. You delusional little fuck. I'm sorry, did I say that by mistake? Unbelievable stuff. This president just lies. Yesterday, at the White House briefing, one of the reporters said, was this not a lie that the president told he made up something that didn't occur to make himself sound good, to correct bad press? And Sarah Huckabee, which sounds like a cartoon character on the Cartoon Network, I'm sorry, she responded by saying, well, maybe it wasn't a phone call that he actually received. Maybe it was just somebody at who said that, just, you know, one of his people, or maybe somebody said that to him. And the reporter said, so what the president said about the Boy Scout, the head of the Boy Scouts calling him, congratulating him, and saying it was a wonderful speech, was a lie. And Sarah Huckabee says, well, that's an extreme accusation. No, it's not. It was a lie. It was a fabricated piece of crap. And that's how this fake president tries to manipulate you. That's what he tries to do. He tries to manipulate you. That's how he won the election. He snake oiled you. He duped you. He manipulated you. And apparently nearly half of America can be manipulated, lied to, and they go, okay, that's what you say is true, okay. Now, that's not the only lie that he's told recently. He also recently says that he got a call from the president of Mexico. And in that phone call, the president of Mexico said, well, he said, I really got to thank you, Mr. Trump. That wall thing, just the idea of it seems to be working. We've had far less people going into the United States from Mexico. That's what Trump said. Then they checked that out because that didn't sound right. Apparently, the president of Mexico responds by saying, I haven't called the president in a long time. And I would never say something like that. That's a lie. I never said that. I never made that phone call. White House briefing comes up. reporter says, President Mexico says they never made that phone call congratulating Trump on the idea of the... Well, that's absurd. Sarah Huckabee, the cartoon character, responds by saying, well, it wasn't necessarily a phone call. It was at the G20 summit where the President of Mexico made that comment. They check with the President of Mexico. I never said that to Donald Trump. That's a lie. I never said it to him at the G20, and I never made a phone call to him. That's all a lie. It's amazing that any American can sit there and condone this type of childish, dangerous, strange attitude of lying. This delusional personality flaw. He lies about the size of audiences. That's important to him, to make people think that a lot of people showed up, when indeed there are official counts, and they're nothing near what he says. And then his response is, oh, well, that's what somebody told me. What? You're leading the country based on that's what somebody told me? This is weird stuff, kids. I'm just bringing it up because I just think you should know this stuff. See, I'm in the business of hearing and checking and knowing and following the news. Many of you don't know what the hell's going on unless you hear somebody talk about it just off the cuff when you're at a bar or something. You don't follow this stuff. You don't know. You only know what the president tells you, and that's all crap. And that's not my opinion. That's the case. A recent poll shows that Donald Trump, America thinks that Donald Trump is basically a liar. 76% thinks that he lies. 36% thinks that he doesn't lie. And when you add the numbers up, it comes up to more than 100%, which means even the polls lie. And that's why I say with great confidence that you don't have really fake news. You have a fake president. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more program.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
When you lie a lot, you get confused. I think Trump, he's talking about the president of Mexico calling him, and he's talking about the head of the Boy Scouts calling him. I think he thinks he made a speech in front of the Mexican Boy Scouts. This is a mess. This is just a mess. And that's the stuff that doesn't matter too much. You've got countries that want to blow us off the map. You've got impending, there hasn't been a terrorism thing recently, but there could be any day. That's always looming over us and other countries, North Korea, Middle East. I just remember the campaign speeches. I just remember, nobody knows more about the world than I do. I'm a deal maker. When I get into the White House, we're going to get rid of Obamacare. We're going to have a new tax code. We're going to put up a wall. We're going to have a travel ban. Every one of his things just kind of never happened. And his biggest claim to fame is that the media is all fake news. They all make this stuff up. Stuff never happened. It's all made up. And then you find out everything that he does is exaggerated, lied about, and all made up. He's the king of made up. There are still plenty of Republicans that think Barack Obama was not born in this country. And it was Donald Trump who spearheaded that and took it to its nth degree. That was a total lie. And he knows it because recently in an interview he was asked, do you still hold the belief that Barack Obama was not and is not an American citizen? And was not born in this country. And Trump, rather than ever admit something, responds this way. I don't talk about that anymore. That's in the past. That's done. I don't talk about it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And you think that we're supposed to say, okay, you're right. Ay, 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 ay. I got a funny story for you.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
I went to see the new Spider-Man movie a little while ago, and something weird happened in the movie theater. I went to the movies by myself. I do that because there's no point in going with somebody. Why would you bring somebody to the movies, have them sit next to you in total darkness, and you can't talk, you're just watching a movie, and the thing's over, and you leave? There's no conversations during the movie. Unless you're going to make out or something in the back row, which is hard to do with those big freaking lounge chairs now. What's the point of bringing somebody? So I went by myself. I sat there. It was in the early afternoon. Nobody was going to the movies except for me. And I'm sitting there in a chair. There's nobody to the left of me. There's nobody to the right of me. I am the only person sitting in that row. I'm fairly near the center because there was nobody else in the row, just me. And as the movie starts, I see this person coming toward me, another moviegoer. And I say to myself, don't sit in my row, don't sit in my row, don't sit in my row, please don't sit in my row. And it was a guy. Don't sit in my row, don't sit in my row. He walks into my row. Don't sit near me. Don't sit near me. Sit like five seats away from me. Say, don't sit near me. This is awkward. Don't sit near me. There's a big theater. It's all practically empty. Don't sit next to me. He approaches me. He sits down. He sits down right next to me in the next chair. I got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I thought he was going to kill me because who in their right mind in our society walks into a movie theater, sees that it's practically empty, but chooses the seat right next to a total stranger? I wouldn't even call that awkward. I would call it freaking scary. Now, I love my fellow man as much as you do. That's a lie. I can't stand them. I'll shake somebody's hand if I'm introduced, even though I don't know if they've been scratching themselves previously. I don't ask. I don't sanitize before I shake somebody's hand. It's just something you do. Most people are very, very nice, male and female, and whatever other genders we call things these days. I don't know what that meant either. But when somebody chooses in a practically empty theater to sit right next to you, what the hell do you do? I mean, short of leaning over and saying, why are you sitting next to me? What's going to happen to me now? Why? What is your reason for sitting next to me? Well, in the giant theory of of humanity where we all should be getting along, there's probably nothing wrong with somebody sitting right next to me in the theater. However, in the scope of common sense, that's just really awkward. I sat there for about 2 minutes into the film with him sitting next to me. He didn't touch me or anything. I thought that was what was going to happen. I thought this was going to be a gay thing, you know, and I have no problem with that. Believe me, I just happen not to be that way, and I don't want to be touched. And I must admit, I will admit this to you, if it was a pretty female who sat right next to me, the reaction would have been the opposite. It would have been, oh, well, all right. Hi. Of course, I couldn't do anything about it because I'm taken. But same time, the fantasy could have been wonderful. But because it was a guy, it freaked me out. And my reaction was to get up and to change my seat. And I didn't move one seat over. I got out of that row. And I didn't just go into the next row. I went the furthest away as I could from this guy. He didn't bat an eyelash. He didn't look around and see what's going on. Why don't you love me? Nothing like that. And I sat and I watched the rest of the movie, as awkward as I still felt through the whole thing, wondering if he was going to approach me and say, well, why did you move? What's your problem? But he didn't. That's not the end of the story, though, kids. That's not the end. After the movie, I was a little peckish. That means I was a little bit hungry. So I went to a nearby eatery with a cocktail lounge bar, because I don't like to go into a restaurant and sit at a table by myself, because people look at you and they say, oh, that's so sad. He doesn't know anybody. I guess I don't care what they think, but I just don't want to go through that. So I sit at the bar. Well, that's because they're individual bar stools, right? So I'm sitting there, and I order my food from the lovely bartender. We had some light conversation, and I told her the story about the guy in the movie theater, because I was still freaked out about it. And she found it to be very, very humorous and very, very interesting. I order my food. All of a sudden, and there are like maybe three other people at the bar. There's me and two other guys. And none of us are sitting next to each other. This bar has like 20 seats. We're scattered throughout the bar. This guy comes in. Not the same guy, just a guy. Fairly well-dressed. He comes in. He's going to have lunch at the bar as well. He looks around. He chooses to sit right next to me. He could have sat one seat over past that, like two seats away from me on either side. They were all available. He chose to sit right next to me. I look at the bartender, she looks at me, she cracks a little smile, realizing, hey, this thing just happened to you, didn't it? Yes. And it's happened again. Now I'm questioning if this is a particular day where I just am very attractive to other guys or whoever. Like, what's going on? Is it a particular smell that I'm giving off? A cologne kind of sweet smell? Why are people deciding to park their butts next to me? Now, let me explain something to you. I am not the kind of person people want to sit next to. I'm a grumpy old guy. Not so old, but grumpy, yes. And I'm tall. I'm 6'3". I am intimidated looking. I don't smile ear to ear like I'm really happy with you. I am very intimidating. People stare at me and they say to themselves, holy crap, don't get near that one. And yet on this particular day, within two events in one afternoon, people are attracted to me. It was a Twilight Zone day. And it's never happened since, and I hope it never happens again. I mean, even a little child would find that to be a strange occurrence.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not So Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
Let's talk toys.
Hey Ron, good morning.
Hey Chris, how are you today?
I am great.
Oh boy, uh-oh. Chris Byrne is the toy guy, the toy expert. We've spoken to him many, many times. Whenever they manufacture a new toy, there's Chris. We're speaking to him live from New York City. Hey, you know, it's almost back to school time for those little darlings. And, you know, so toys can actually integrate with education. We know that, but we don't talk about that very frequently.
We don't. And I think it's really important for parents to understand that toys and play are way kids that, you know, practice the skills that they're learning in school and actually put them into practice. For example, like storytelling. That's really important in imagination. This is how kids build, you know, their sophistication with linguistic sophistication. It's a great building block for early literacy. So giving them toys that help them tell stories are really important. I've got one example I've been talking about a lot, a great line from Fisher-Price called Imaginext. They've come out with a thing called the Serpent Strike Pyramid. And actually, kids can go on treasure hunts, and there's so many different areas that they can play and interact with it. So it can be different every time they play it, so they're building that storytelling.
Oh, that's cool. You know, I wouldn't say we're tricking the kids into learning, but they don't even sometimes realize that they're getting an education from these toys because they're having fun.
Oh, they're absolutely having fun. And, you know, kids love exploring their world. They love expressing themselves, and they love showing off what they've learned.
Yeah.
So, for example, things like the Think and Learn Smart Cycle from Fisher-Price. This is a stationary bike for preschoolers that connects by Bluetooth to your tablet, and it's got an app. So, you know, you see mom and dad on their stationary bike, you know, watching TV.
Whoa.
So this has games built into it, so kids can learn basic things like letters, numbers, words, rhyming, and they don't really know, you know, they're getting proud of the fact that they're learning all this stuff so they can show up for their parents and friends.
Are they actually on this exercise bike?
They're actually on this exercise bike. It stands about 2.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
It's got pedals on it. It looks like a traditional stationary bike. That's about $149.99, and that one's exclusively at Amazon. You're going to see a lot more exclusives this year. That's one of them.
I'm a little embarrassed, but Chris, can I fit on this bike? Because this is the way I can get exercise and learn something.
You can't. You're going to have to head over to the gym and get on that Schwinn stationary bike that you, or go out to one of those studios. You've got SoulCycle in Boston. Go out and check that out.
Yeah, right. I will. Gosh. Because the price was right. Everything has to do with technology now, and this has been introduced into kids' toys for a while now, but, I mean, it's like really hitting home now, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that one thing that's really interesting about technology, especially today, is it just makes the toy box bigger. And one of the things we've seen has been a return to classic toys because kids, you know, today's 11-year-olds have never lived in a world without a smartphone. So that's not impressive to them.
Right.
What's impressive is something that they can do, something that sort of changes up what they, what, you know, their perception.
Uh-huh.
There's this new stuff called toy block tape, makeup toy block tape, and it's actually, it's like a Lego tape. It's got the Lego studs in it, and it's got reusable adhesive. You can actually build Lego upside down on the ceiling if you wanted to, because it sticks to the wall and it doesn't mark, and you can reposition it. And so it's a great way for kids to be creative in new ways and think dimensionally.
Yeah.
And it's not even, you know, it has no technology at all.
Cool. What else have you got in your toy chest there?
Oh my gosh, I've got so much stuff. Well, arts and crafts, really big. Coming out today is what I think is going to be one of the hottest toys of the year. It's called Unis. They're from Moose Toys. And what these are little bubbles that you use with an inflator, and you can blow them up, and they're about 2 inches in diameter when they're done. And then there's little sticky things. They stick together. You can accessorize them. Really great creative play, and again, using the imagination. And there's also big news. I cast your mind back to 2009. The Zuzu Pets are back. They are back. You know, and that's really great for kids as they learn about taking care of pets and interacting with them, because they will respond to the children's interaction. Uh-huh. And they've got a big event coming a week from today called Zoos Day, where you can go to the retailers and see these and start adopting your millions of Zuzu Pets.
Wow, as I said, it's another fad coming up, huh?
Oh, well, we hope so. I mean, you know, the thing about fads is that they come and they go, but something that's got really great classic play, that's going to be appeal to every new generation of kids.
Do you remember the days, like decades ago, where, I don't remember which toys they were, but they were like little animals there, and you went to the store, and they were out of stock, and you would do anything to get your hands on some of these toys, but they weren't available?
Oh, that's happened with Beanie Babies.
That happened with Pickle Me Elmo. Yeah.
Happened in 1983 with the Cabbage Patch Kid. So it's been around for a long time.
Well, it shows you the commodities that toys actually are and what goes on in the toy industry. It's like very competitive and very serious.
and you know what? Your business is in the hands of an 8-year-old. So you've got to really be entertaining.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, when kids love that stuff and they're engaged intellectually and imaginatively, then those toys tend to be hits.
Throw me another example of an educational toy that's different.
Well, you know, one of the things that kids really need to learn is telling time. It's one of those difficult concepts because it's very abstract. Kids about 3 and up can do it. There's a new toy called Telly, the Teaching Time Clock, which has both an analog face that kids can manipulate and a digital face, because kids are learning to tell time in both ways. And it's got games and quizzes that you can do, and it's great for parents and kids to interact with, like set the clock to dinner time, set the clock to nap time. And so kids begin to understand holistically the concept of time, which they really don't get until they're 7 or 8, but you got to start early as they practice with it.
Interesting stuff. One more, Chris.
Well, Lego Duplo, probably one of my favorite toys. That's been around since 1960. Our Duplo, most people know they're about twice the size of traditional Lego blocks, and they have helped kids with stacking and fine motor coordination. They've introduced a preschool, which is great for kids to play out scenarios of preschool before they even get there, so they get to understand you know, what they might be up against and imaginatively think about scenarios that may occur in real life.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just a new twist on the simple things like building blocks. It's just, you know, stacking things. I mean, that's an educational experience, but we have to update it, I guess, right?
Yeah, you update it, but then again, things like Lego Duplo are classic and playing school.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, that goes back, you know, centuries.
Yeah, I remember playing doctor with my next-door neighbor, but I don't want to talk about that right now.
Right.
We'll
leave that go.
Well, you can't put that in a box, so why even bother? Okay. Chris Byrne is the toy guy. Where do we get more information on some of these great ideas?
Come see us at ttpm.com. That stands for Toys, Tots, Pets, and More.
Perfect. We'll talk the next time. Take care, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Chris Byrne, the toy guy. I think the one thing I most miss about my life is my childhood with toys. We're just, no more toys. I have adult toys now. When I go shopping, I buy toilet paper and milk. That's That's my shopping. Those are my toys. When I was a kid, I'd just go to the toy store and I'd buy a toy. I never bought toilet paper. Now I got to buy toilet paper, which reminds me, I'm out of toilet paper. I got to go. I got to get some toilet paper. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Will you join me then? Yes? Good. Thank you. Until then, I wish you peace.